Australia and Canada are two of the world's largest exporters of carbon in the forms of coal, oil and natural gas, and production in both countries is increasing rapidly. Since the Abbott government came to power federally last year, Canada has also become Australia's closest international ally on climate change policy. But according to one of Canada's leading political voices of the past decade, democratic processes and institutions have recently been captured in some of Canada's key resource regions by the carbon industry. Kevin Taft was a member of the Legislative Assembly of Alberta and leader of the Liberal Opposition Party in that area for 4 years, from 2004. He joins me now in the breakfast studio. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Kevin, in Alberta, give us a sense of the fossil fuel industry there. It all stems from the tar sands. That's why this is a major issue right now. What is that?
Well, the fossil fuel, the oil and gas industry in Alberta goes back many decades, but the oil sands, or the Athabasca tar sands, some of your listeners will have heard of them, is this immense deposit of something called bitumen, which is a very heavy, tarry, sandy substance that holds the world's third largest reserves of oil. It's complicated to extract, but it's such a massive resource, and the technology to do that has now been perfected. So there's a huge expansion of production from the oil sands going into the United States and eventually around the world.
Give us a sense of that, the degree of that expansion, that the time frame and the jobs, the dollar value.
The dollar value is measured in the hundreds of billions of dollars, so it's immense. It has been rising rapidly for the last 15 years, and it will continue for many years to come. And so the production is climbing by millions of barrels of production every day.
And this has really escalated over 15 years?
Yes, the last 15 years, and it's going to continue for many more. And it's raised a lot of environmental concerns. There's been questions about how it's being handled. And when the chips are down, what I'm speaking about here is that the carbon industry, the petroleum industry there, has really flexed its muscles to capture, in my view, some of the key democratic institutions for decision-making in Alberta.
Please. And this is where the cautionary tale comes in. You say
That's
you come
right.
to Australia with a cautionary tale.
The cautionary tale really is about how democracy can get squeezed in a collision between the pressures of climate change, which are very real. People need to understand climate change is real. That debate is done. The science is conclusive. And that puts a lot of pressure on the carbon producers to rein in what they're doing. They don't want to do that. And so in the squeeze between climate change and the carbon industry, democracy gets put out.
And what do you mean when you say democracy gets put out? What's the experience that brings you to that position?
The experience in Alberta is that the carbon industry captures both sides of the legislature, the governing party, the opposition party. It captures the media through influence. It captures the regulator. So the main regulator for the industry in Alberta is...
What do you mean when you say it captures it? How?
Well, for example, the main regulator for the energy industry in Alberta now is chaired by a former head of the biggest lobby organization for the industry. This is the regulator that controls whether the resource gets developed or not. It's entirely funded by the industry. Its legislation has been changed, so it's no longer a regulator to protect the public interest. It's a regulator to advance the interests of the industry. It's even taken over a large portion of the government's environmental protection staff. And so when people turn to what they think is an arm's length agency, a government agency, to protect their interests, what they find is they're actually turning to an agency that's largely in the hands of the industry.
You also say that when people turn to the opposition for another perspective on things, they're actually turning to the Wild Rose Party, is the official opposition in Alberta at the moment, which you say is a creature of the petroleum industry. Now, the Wild Rose Party, I mean, Canada is a democracy, and in Alberta there's democratic elections. People elected this party. They elected this party instead of your party. They preferred this party. So on what basis do you say that this party is a front for or a creature of the petroleum industry?
I say it on the basis that the building up of this new right-wing party was encouraged by and largely supported by an organization of the oil industry. People from the industry lead the party's executive. The industry recruited a substantial number of candidates for this party in the last election. Because of this, the party isn't raising some of the issues that used to be raised, issues like climate change, water use, coal seam gas drilling, water, and other issues. And those debates no longer happen in the legislature. They therefore don't get the same coverage in the media, and the industry just gets a smoother ride. Now, what's important is that a lot of these debates around development are coming into Alberta from outside, and the United States, other parts of Canada are putting a lot of pressure on Alberta to raise its game. But within Alberta itself, it's become very much a one-dimensional politics.
I'll come to what else is going on in other parts of Canada, but in Alberta, I mean, what are the people, the voters, thinking about this? Because as I understand it, back in 2008, there was widespread concern amongst the voters. They were worried about fracking. They were worried about water use, coal seam gas. Mm-hmm. What changed? What calmed them? Was it simply the size of the venture and therefore the jobs and the opportunity and the dollars? Or did the industry reassure them on these concerns?
What I saw happen is that after the 2008 election, the industry really set out on a campaign to create a new political party, the Wild Rose Party, to get the legislation changed, to get control of the regulator, to bring in a new premier of the government, which they succeeded in doing, a premier who was very much a cheerleader for the industry. They worked very hard to regain control of the way that the political agenda gets set in a democratic society.
And it's a very serious claim, isn't it? I mean, essentially, it's talking about collusion here between a multi-billion-dollar powerful industry and political parties and media organizations for this to have happened. Doesn't there have to have been collusion? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying, Fran, is that when a powerful industry like the fossil fuel industry feels threatened, it can push back in ways that that we all need to be very alert to. It has tremendous financial resources and tremendous political resources. So when I come here to Australia, the Whitlam Institute invited me here, and I watch the debate, for example, on carbon tax or on climate change, I'm seeing the same kind of dynamics here. The science on climate change is resolved. Climate change is a very serious threat. It's odd. It's concerning to watch how that debate is still has so much ground in Australia. Carbon taxes and other issues like that. Those debates are getting muddled, I propose, by a carbon industry that really doesn't want them.
And just very briefly, in terms of the carbon tax, because Canada, as you say, had a carbon price, and then the Harper government has taken off the carbon price. But in some states or provinces, there are carbon prices.
Yes, I mean, there are very successful examples. The province of British Columbia on the Pacific coast, where Vancouver is, brought in a comprehensive carbon tax about 6 years ago. It's worked out extremely well. The economy has continued to grow. The government has used the revenues from that tax to lower income tax and other taxes, so it's revenue neutral. And most importantly, in the long term, carbon emissions have declined. So there are examples of carbon taxes that work very well. You're not hearing about those here, and I think that's for a reason. I think that's because, you know, the carbon industry doesn't want that information out.
A cautionary tale. Kevin Taft, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Kevin Taft is a member of the Legislative Assembly of Alberta. He was from 2001 to 2012 and leader of the Liberal Opposition Party for 4 years. He's currently in Australia, as he mentioned, as a guest of the Whitlam Institute. And his speech, Climate Change, Carbon Exports and Democracy, that cautionary tale he's been describing to us, will be delivered there. We'll give you a link to that on our website.